With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
Headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass, always 420 at Buddy's. Big weekend in the NFL. Chiefs over the Jags, 27-20 on Saturday, and the Eagles beat up on the Giants, 38-7 in the worst game of the weekend. Those were the Saturday games. In the Sunday games, Bengals over the Bills, 27-10. 49ers, they sent the Cowboys home before the NFC Championship game. Again, final score 19-12 there. That means we've got Chiefs against the Bengals, 49ers against the Eagles this weekend. Are both games on our station? Yes, right?
I believe so, yes.
We don't have hockey on Sunday, I don't think.
No hockey on Sunday.
Perfect. Correct, so they're all on 93.3 KJR-FM this Sunday. First game is the NFC. Second game is the AFC. Kraken, they lost to the Avalanche in a shootout on Saturday. They have a couple days off. Next up, Vancouver Canucks. That is going to be on Wednesday at Climate Pledge Arena. Somehow, some way, the Kraken have never beat the Canucks. Not sure how, not sure why, but that will end on Wednesday. Rick Tocchet will regret the fact that he took that job. Husky men's hoops fell lost to Utah on Saturday, 86-61. Cougars lose to Colorado on the road, 58-55 yesterday on a last-second three-point shot by Colorado. Muhammad Gay, NBA player, was 0-for-7 from the field. Okay, let's get to the 2 o'clock hour. Here we go. Yeah, I didn't criticize. Look at that. I didn't criticize Kyle Smith.
Nice.
There you go.
Tunes.
Just a star standards. Player instead. We've got Mike Sando in just a couple minutes. We have a couple of text polls up right now on the Twitter poll. Twitter poll. Not text polls. Twitter
poll. Respond on text.
Text line is available for you. 49451. Tell them or do text line.
We got some great texts coming in.
And when it's game time, it's telly time. And Jess has been checking those. And she actually gave us one earlier that kind of gave me a little idea for a Twitter poll because the big question has been brought up all around town. Every show's talked about it. People are talking about it. You know, how far is the gap? How big is the gap between the 49ers and the Seahawks? And Anders has that. Which Seattle sports team is closer to closing the gap in their division rivals? Seahawks to the 49ers, Mariners to the Astros. You can go to the Anders Hurst, at Anders Hurst, and we all retweeted it as well, and vote there. Right now, it looks like Mariners to Astros at 61%. How can that be?
Yeah, that's surprising.
I added a different one. I went with this. Everyone doing a poll today. So here we go. With thanks to a listener who texted in and just read, I'm adding one more to the mix. Who's closer to a championship? Mariners, Kraken, or Seahawks? What do you guys think?
Kraken.
Yeah, honestly, there's an argument to be made that Kraken are a championship contender at this point in the season, right? So I'd say just looking at how close they are, I'd give the Kraken the nod here.
Yeah, Kraken at 43%, slightly leading the Mariners at 40%. So there you go.
That's the order I would go into.
Yeah.
I'd go Kraken, Mariners, and then Seahawks. And that's still to say I believe the Seahawks will be in the playoff picture next year. So
Grubauer can get hot.
Yeah.
And win a series or two for you.
Yeah.
And then if somebody gets knocked off along the way, and I got to think Climate Pledge with home ice could be... I keep watching this team thinking, you know, for the first couple months that they're going to slow down the Kraken. And the more I watch them, the more I think that they're not just a playoff team. They're a team that's going to win a series and maybe more.
At least, yeah.
Yeah, I truly would. Now, a lot of it's matchup and things like that, but I think they need to get a little heavier on the back end and they can do some things up front. But it's a pretty good hockey team. Mariners, Astros, but you just need to be a wild card team, right?
I feel like the gap is so much bigger. And like we were talking about earlier in the show, it takes so much longer to close in baseball. Just does. You're not one player away. You're not an offensive line away.
It doesn't happen overnight.
And I also think the Astros in comparison to the Niners are just a better team. They're closer to that like top team.
Well, and what we brought up with the Seahawks in the NFL is earlier today, the turnover you have in the NFL for the playoffs. There's only 7 teams out of the 14, right?
7 teams out of the 14?
That are in the playoffs this year.
Oh, okay.
That were in the playoffs last year.
Right.
I think my math was right.
Your math was right. I was thinking of a different math.
Yes.
If you're doing 7 of 14, then yes, that's 50%.
Thank
but
you.
If you're thinking 14 of 32.
Yes, that's where my head was. Yeah. Yes.
Listen,
okay. Makes more
working,
sense
you're
now.
Not working with, you're not working with Jim Moore anymore.
I don't have my phone because he stole it. I can't do quick math.
You shouldn't have to do math on your phone for 7 of 14. This is not a Jim Moore thing. This is an Ian thing.
Yeah, got to blame myself on this one.
All right. But that the turnover in the NFL is significant every year. I mean, we went through it. Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Tampa Bay, Dallas are the only return teams from last year's playoffs. And on top of that, Philly and San Francisco were six and seven. San Francisco, six. Philly, seventh in terms of the seeds last year. They're 1-2 this year. So things can change in a hurry in the NFL and then go south in a hurry, ask the Rams, with their injury situation. So things can turn. It's Pete Rozelle's NFL. Parody is king. 8-8, everybody. Okay, let's get to it. Mike Sando standing by.
It's time for our Monday visit with Mike Sando of The Athletic. Brought to you by Hunt Services. For HVAC, plumbing, sewer, and electrical needs, get on the horn and call Hunt. Or visit huntservices.com. Now with Mike Sando, here's Ian Furness.
Mike Sando joining us right now. Big thanks to Hunt Services. Mike, how are you today, my friend?
Doing well. Good to be here. Good day. How are you?
I'm great. Did you enjoy the football this week? Fun football this weekend, huh? Outside of the Giants and Eagles, felt like some fun games to watch all weekend.
It really was. Yeah. No, I enjoy this time of year when everyone kind of has the same reference points because we're all watching the same games. You know, it gets a little scattered during the regular season. There's so many games. Everybody can't watch them all. You're on the Red Zone channel if you're lucky. But now we have moments, right? These are moments that people remember.
The pick six column on The Athletic, theathletic.com today, ranking the NFL coaching vacancies. And if you know anything about Mike Sando, I've ever listened to our segment here, ever read anything that Mike does, Mike's not just doing like a lot of guys are doing, say, yeah, here's who I think arbitrarily I'm going to rank the coaching openings for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You had a pretty intricate process. How many different things, criteria did you use before you came up with your final list? And then we'll go through that list because it's, I think it might be a little surprising to some fans.
It is. You know, I think the ownership and ability to get a quarterback or have a good quarterback are two things that are big constants that are going to stay with you. And then beyond that, you know, some of those are bad in a lot of the places. So beyond that, you're looking at, okay, do we have draft capital, right? Do we have any semblance of a decent roster? That sort of a thing. Have we played well recently? Those sorts of things. Do you have a chance? So, you know, I think if you look at these teams, Arizona, Denver, Indy, Houston, and Carolina, I think just traditionally you would feel like, you know, Denver's probably one of the better franchises and, you know, Houston's a mess. But when you really look at it, the things that really affect the list is the fact that Denver's locked into Russell Wilson and Arizona's locked into Kyler Murray, and you don't really want to go into that. So now you're looking at Carolina, which hasn't done anything for a long time, but they have a lot of draft capital. They have an owner who seems competitive, wants to win, who's got a ton of money, throws it around, decent draft capital, winnable division, the NFC South. That was another thing that came up. Carolina doesn't look so bad. I mean, they actually played decently last year at times. So, you know, Houston comes out, I think, better. You have to figure out in your mind if you want to go work with Nick Caserio, who's the GM there, but tons of draft capital, a few pieces on the roster. And you figure after they won and done their last two guys, you're going to get a runway. I don't think they're going to do that again.
Scott Fitterer, the Panthers GM, is a former Seahawk executive, and I think someone we feel pretty good about if you just know what his work was here. Let me go through that. So you go Houston, Carolina, Indianapolis, Denver, and Arizona. Let's just focus real quick on Arizona because they're in Seattle's division. That would be the one of most interest. The other four are obviously AFC teams. But with Arizona, they're an interesting team. A year ago, a playoff team. It feels like, you know, they have good year, bad year. It feels like they just every year it's different. They're going to have a good year and a bad year. Good year and a bad year. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth we go. What is it about Arizona that really kind of puts them at the bottom of the list in your mind?
I think it's really hard to make a case for being excited about the Kyler Murray situation with his contract, that horrible clause that was in there that he has to work harder and do his homework, and the fact that you're not, that he's injured too. So he is going to dominate the conversation for anyone who goes in there. And he probably needs a specific type of offense. The coach that was there before probably runs that offense. So what are they doing? Right. This is a place where the owner had Steve Wilks, Josh Rosen, fired him after a year, where the owner hires Cliff Kingsbury, who has a losing record in college, goes with a kind of a unique undersized quarterback, extends their contracts, and then fires the coach and GM a year later. So they're a little bit all over the place. And that quarterback is probably going to be seen more as a net negative than a net positive right now.
I mean, in an old roster too, like
oldest offensive starters in the league.
Yeah, which makes it difficult. Denver second to last, and I would assume it's part of that is I know draft capital comes into play, but also they don't have a second round pick. They do have a first round pick out of the Chubb trade, but they have a first and 2/3, $12 million in cap space as well. Boy, they it is odd. They haven't won for a long time, have they?
No, and in that division. In that division, you're going to be dealing with Mahomes and Andy Reid. Justin Herbert, maybe they'll get things right around him, but they might have an advantage over you. So I think it's going to be a harder division to win for them. And then the extension for Russell Wilson hasn't even kicked in yet. So you've got at least a year, two, three, where you're trying to get out from underneath that or maybe get good play from him. But he's 34, going to be 35 this next season, and I don't know that look, the ownership seems willing to spend, but they don't have a proven track record either. It's not, it's not the glory days of Pat Bowlen there. You're right. They haven't won in a long time, and you're not sure if they're going to be able to win soon, even though they have a pretty good defense.
I'm Mike Sando from The Athletic joining us. Mike, when you talk to executives around the league and the coaches and executives that you talk to, now that they're out of the playoffs, Dan Quinn, his name's going to come up and has come up as well, the former Seahawk DC and former head coach and now Dallas's defensive coordinator. They certainly didn't lose that game yesterday because of Dan Quinn. It was on the other side of the football, the issues were. What do you hear about Dan Quinn as getting that second head coaching opportunity?
Yeah, well, he has he goes back a long ways with George Payton, the GM of the Broncos. So that to me seems like a natural fit. It's almost a little surprising that it didn't happen last year. They ended up going with an offensive coach. So the question there is just really how does Quinn feel about the quarterback situation? Obviously he was with Russell Wilson in Seattle. Is that good? Is that bad? Does he want to get into that? Does he want to be selective? Does he feel like there's a better opportunity out there for him? So I think he is a natural consideration there though. And I think that would make a lot of sense.
Are you telling me that Daniel Jones and Tyrod Taylor, or is it Tyrod, right? Always, I think we always messes up his name. They're the comps for each other?
Well, what was interesting to me about that is I think that Daniel Jones probably did some more in the passing game this year, but they really, managed him and got the most out of him as kind of a dual threat quarterback, a running quarterback. And yet it's unclear whether he's going to be their guy they really invest in. I thought it was interesting that Brian Daboll, their coach, and their GM, Joe Shane, were with Buffalo in about 2016 when Tyrod Taylor had a really good year, and he had kind of an expensive contract, was going to cost about $30 million. And the sides decided, they were going to cut him if that was the number. So he agreed to a reduced number, but still a good number. And they kind of went through the next year, 2017, with him. And he ended up getting benched during the year, and they drafted Josh Allen the next year. So I think maybe you like Daniel Jones a little more, but the numbers are almost identical for Jones this year and Taylor back then. Some of the same people who have big dreams. They're really happy with what Daniel Jones was able to do this year. I don't see how they can go real high in the market. He should probably see that this is the best place for him, but it will be interesting to see if in a year from now they're looking for a quarterback high in the draft.
As you say that, the fit seems to be with the Giants and staying there, and the Giants maybe would be a good fit for him. Is that similar to Seattle and Geno at all?
I think it is a little bit. Yeah, I do think that it is similar. I see those two as similar, where the quarterbacks did a really good job and they were in good situations, and their markets beyond, they may have more value to their current teams than they do to other teams. Other teams may still be looking at them a little bit more off of their previous play, right? Mm-hmm. And wondering, okay, could we recreate that here? Maybe we're not so sure. It's a little bit of unestablished success. Whereas in Seattle or with the Giants, you kind of feel better about it because, hey, we made this work and we think it can work that way again. It doesn't mean that someone in a different situation is willing to bet on that the same way they would if it was, you know, somebody who had success for 3 or 4 years.
I'll wrap it up with this, because you pointed out just in a quick little comment regarding Brett Maher and Maher and his kicking issues in the pregame with Jerry Jones coming down to talk to him. And kind of I was talking to some guys today. We get together for a little walk on an old man walk, we call it, a few days a week, and try to get a little workout in. And we were talking about going to the golf course, and sometimes you go to the golf course, you're on the driving range, and there's that guy that wants to come up and give you advice, even though he doesn't know what he's doing or he's not very good. It's like, you know, hey, you know, you got to turn your hips a little bit here. Like, I don't know what Jerry Jones knows about kicking, but I'm thinking it's next to nothing. And for the president, for the guy that's the grand poobah and the guy in charge of all things Cowboys to come down with a kicker who's already messed up in the head, unless it's coming down and saying, hey, just relax and go for it, which I don't think it was, that's hard. But you kind of point out here that, you know, that the messaging for younger players, the pressure for Dallas just as an organization, anybody playing there, whether it be the quarterback, the kicker, or anybody, they haven't been there forever. Is there a Jerry Jones problem?
I think there has been for a long time. I think his involvement makes it hard to coach the team. He has an opinion on everything. He's talking on Sunday nights. He's saying we're Super Bowl contenders when they beat Minnesota or whoever it was. I think it all works against being able to coach the team. And, you know, one of the things I said earlier was about how hungry like a David Tepper seems to win, right? Jerry Jones has been to the mountaintop. He has a gold jacket. He's a made man. I think the things he enjoys about owning the team are things like that, being able to do what he wants, being able to comment on whatever. Hey, the kicker's messing up. I'll just go out there and talk to him. This is my team. He loves owning the team. I'm not sure how absolutely driven he is to win compared to some other owners. And it seems like his focus is all over the place. Whereas, like, one of the things I really admire about Philadelphia is they're always striving. They win the Super Bowl and things get sideways and it doesn't go good. They reload. They're back and pushing and doing things with the roster differently. Whereas I feel like with Jerry Jones, it's, hey, Tony Romo's great. We paid him the top of the market. And then you just keep saying he's great and you're never going to be wrong. Same thing with Dak Prescott. He's great because I said so, because I paid him. We're going to play Zeke Elliott, right? We're going to pay him at the top of the market because the owner wants to. It's not the best way to run a team.
Great stuff, Mike. I appreciate it as always. Thank you. We'll check in next week, sir.
Yep. Thank you.
Mike Sando from The Athletic, brought to you by Hunt Services. Proud to offer Hunt's Care Club for all your plumbing, heating, cooling, sewer, and electrical needs. For less than $30 per month, they'll help you avoid costly repairs, stressful emergencies. Get on the horn, call Hunt's, or visit huntservices.com. Text messages coming up next, 93.3 KJRFM. Update. We've got Twitter or text messages to get to. We've got an update on the phone situation as well from Jim and Jessamine. All that coming up. Let's start with the polls. Anders put one out today a little while ago. It says, which Seattle sports team is closer to, quote, closing the gap on their division rival? Seahawks to 49ers, Mariners to Astros. 60% say Mariners to Astros. This is, what world are we living in now? That's good, though, for the Mariners, yeah, right? Hey.
I like the optimism.
Yeah, 993 votes. 60% say Mariners to Astros. I followed by saying, and this was thanks to a listener that Jess pointed out in the 1 o'clock hour that texted in. I added one more to the mix. I said, who is closer to a championship? Because the listener said, okay, closing the gap's one thing, but who's actually closer to a championship? And I added the Kraken. So I went Seahawks, Mariners, and Kraken. Who's closer to a championship right now? Seahawks, Mariners, and Kraken. 43.7% say Kraken. 41.4% say the Mariners. 14.9% say the Seahawks. One thing to point out, I think we've done polls like this in the past, not including the Kraken because they're just a year and a half old. But, you know, who's closer to a championship could include the two pro teams and maybe the Husky football team or the Cougs, whatever it might be. But usually it's because all these teams aren't good. And we're asking that question. The worst, well, not the worst, but out of these teams, all of them are playoff teams in the calendar year. And I'm giving the Kraken that benefit of the doubt. They will be a playoff team.
Yeah, they will.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All our playoff teams. The Mariners actually won a series, a two-game series, or a three-game best of three, but a two-game sweep of the Jays. The Seahawks lost in the wild card, but they've got to the postseason. And the Kraken will get the play. So usually this is a very kind of like, well, here we are. It's awful. Things are bad in the world of sports in Seattle. Anybody who's close to a championship? Anybody? Well, no. All three are playoff teams. And you know, we're bemoaning the fact that the Seahawks are feeling like they're a ways away after watching the Niners, you know, knock Dallas around. And we'll see. I mean, it sets up to be just an absolute slugfest with Philadelphia and San Francisco. We'll see how that one looks. But, it's a kind of a fun poll to look at. Those are the polls. You can vote on the Twitter at Ian Furness SEA and at Anders Hurst. We retweeted him from the KJR account as well. Let's hit the text music, 49451. Most importantly, we do have an update. I looked in there last segment. I could have sworn I saw one Jim Moore poke his head in there.
He did.
And I'm assuming he brought Jess's phone back.
Yes. He did. I'm reconnected. You know, that 90 minutes without it was...
How are you? Was that a little stressful?
I had a cold sweat going, I'm not going to lie.
That's not good.
Well, people should also know that it also has to do with like our building security here. You need to use, you know, I don't have a card. I have an app on my phone to get in and out of the doors.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay.
And then you also, for security reasons, have to, you know, get a text code
for your email
to log into anything online.
Well, you know, Jim doesn't use that because he never checks his company email.
He's still doing that?
Yeah, so that's why he doesn't really understand the importance of the phone.
No.
But he somehow took your phone.
He took both his phone and my phone. It's not like he mistook one for the other.
And he got all the way home.
He got all the way home. But, I mean, we had started the show otherwise, and I had no way of contacting him. And you know what's the funniest part? When I got my phone back, so I realized this at like 1:05 that it was missing. I had a text from him because I emailed him right away.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a text from him that said, sorry, I don't have your phone.
That's on your phone that he had.
It was at 1:18. So he must have either seen the email or Anders called him and he texted me to my phone. And that's probably when he realized he actually had it. Yeah. He probably heard it.
Well, before we get to the important sports topics on the text line, 49451, tell them or do text line when it's game time. It is Tully time. You can pass these along to Puck and Chris Kidd. What are the punishment suggestions for Jim Moore?
Yeah. There's a lot of suggestions about hanging out with people that he previously did not get along with.
Would that be like a morning show host at a competing station? Or,
you know, and then you throw in some, you know, Michael Bennett who threatened to kill him, Richard Sherman who threatened to ruin his career. There's a sprinkling of many people who...
So there's lots of good, solid ideas, it sounds like.
Yeah. Jim Moore is really good at getting under the skin of some people anyway. Some people said that he should have to be a Walmart greeter for a day. Mm. Give me $500 because apparently likes handing it out.
Can't text yourself, Jess.
Can't.
Can't do that.
That wasn't the 516.
I like the Walmart greeter though. We gotta pass some of these along to Puckett.
Yeah.
And Chris.
Yeah. Can't consume any alcohol or wager any money until he returns the phone. That's probably why he returned it so quickly.
flew back here. Yeah. There's no such thing as dry January in the Jim Moore world.
He heard that. He was sprinting back.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of conversations that are actually sports conversations show today.
Fire away.
One texter, the 206, thinks that Geno Smith is easily going to sign for $15 to $20 million a year. Just thinks that's a done deal.
Okay, no chance.
I don't think so. It's just, you know, that the bar is just so much higher for a quarterback in his position.
Well, 15 or 20 at that point, somebody else does go out and get him.
Yeah,
but I mean, at 25 or whatever it would be, but it's the great unknown is what the market will be. Nobody knows. I mean,
and I feel like the Seahawks, it's like they're hesitant to do it because are you betting against yourself? Like, you're setting the market. The first person to make that offer, that's what the market is.
I mean, the franchise part of it, which they've been very reluctant to use under this regime.
Yeah, what is it? Like two?
It's Mare and Clark, and Clark was to trade him.
Right.
So the franchise tag could be used just to buy time. Then you negotiate over the summer. You figure it out, you know, there's a timeline where you can negotiate up to a certain date, try to get that done, and then that way you can, you know, work out a deal that works for both sides. Worst case scenario, if you don't come to an agreement, he makes, you know, $32 million or whatever the tag is. I mean, which is fine, but it buys you time. I mean, I think that's the most likely scenario if they don't get something.
Right, that's a Band-Aid. Yeah. And you know what? It's interesting because just because of their hesitancy to use the franchise tag, I really just didn't see it happening. I felt like they'd come to a fair deal for both sides. I really do think he's going to re-sign.
We're a long ways away from that, too. So.
Yeah, I mean, that's also some protection if they let that play out.
Total protection, yeah.
But it's also a risk because then, you know, that's over and, what, you franchise him again? But it isn't just an interesting thought of how that could buy some time because it's protection and a risk at the same time. But it's almost like bridge quarterbacking himself.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
No, I don't think it's the best scenario, but I like your idea of using that time for negotiation.
What else you got?
253, another suggestion for Jim. Sing Bow Down to Washington on air. Mm. 253, on different 253, says make him do a whole show with Softy. And I think just for the time he'd have to put in doing his show and then Softy's show, I think that enough would be the torture of 6 hours of radio.
Now, would you just add him to Softy and Fain, or would Fain move over with Puckett?
See, now that would be fun.
Ooh. How many bees do you want to put in bonnets today?
But that's punishing someone else for Jim's mistake.
Yeah,
that's true.
Then both Dick and... Really, then Dick, Softy, and Puckett are all punished for Jim.
Maybe the next time the Kraken are on the road on the East Coast and Softy gets another one of his days off, we can make that suggestion.
How about, he just does our show. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
when
we have those extra half hours or whatever.
We'll just go to the casino, throw back
I like that.
Okay.
All right, what else you got?
Hey, my new role. Maybe I can make some things
Let's
happen.
Let's do it.
So this from... The 425, Jess, however, I respect your opinion. The Seahawks are closer to a championship run by far because you just have to win 4 games to become an NFL or to win a Super Bowl championship versus baseball 7-game series. So the M's have to win 12 games to win a Major League Baseball.
Well, you can win a Super Bowl with 3.
If you get the bye. Yeah, you could. I mean, I just don't think that's what makes it more or less difficult.
No, I don't think so either.
The amount of games.
I don't think so either. I don't know. I mean, I think it's we're prisoners of the moment. So you see what happened yesterday. You watch the 49ers. You're like, oh god, they look great. Like, you know, and when Puck and Jim and I were talking before the playoffs, like, you know, who do you want to see, Philadelphia or San Francisco? You know, my point all along with Puck was, we know what San Francisco is, and we know Seattle really can't beat them right now. But we don't know if they can beat Philadelphia. I mean, I'd rather take my chances with the unknown than the known. And the known is that they've wrecked you this year. And the one game felt closer here, but maybe a drop pick here or there and all the problems. But I don't know. You look at some of the numbers in that game, and maybe it wasn't that close. And I mean, Seattle doesn't score at all in the first half. And how about the difference between Seattle and the Bengals? The Bengals have going into yesterday's game, and they added to it. They had outscored their opposition 32-0 in the previous, like, you know, 3 games or something like that.
Well,
they just come out of the chute.
Yeah, they've been playing really well lately and kind of gotten better each game. And I think there's a difference between, like, sometimes you can go on a run and not exactly have the better team as the Phillies did this year in baseball versus in football. I think more often than not, the better team wins.
Yeah, yeah. You would think so. Okay, what
in
else?
The League of Parody.
The League of Parody, yeah.
206, we should all be rooting for the 49ers to win. The more they win, the more likely coaches get deals from other teams. Players get better deals from hopefully AFC teams. Players who stay typically don't play as well the next season once they've reached the mountaintop, the quote-unquote mountaintop.
Well, now, the one thing you can add to that is this, and this is why... You know, it's really hard to repeat. It's really hard to get back to a Super Bowl. It's really hard to get even back to a championship game. The toll it does take on your body. And maybe we saw that this year with the Rams a little bit.
I'm surprised they had as much longevity considering their spending habits early on.
And we talked about it with the Seahawks, right? They go 12, 13, 14, and things, you know, started to kind of fall apart in 15 and 16. Well, at some point, you've played a lot of football. Your off seasons are really short. So that comes into play as well. And, you know, maybe that'll happen with the 49ers at some point. Although they're still like Fred Warner doesn't look like he's going to slow down for like two decades. You know, I mean, he's just running around killing people. And Greenlaw's really good. And Bosa and Armstead. And you go through that whole group. And up front, they get the best left tackle in the game. And then they've got a three-headed monster that can run the ball with Samuel, Mitchell, and McCaffrey. It's hard to find what their weakness is. But... as we saw, it just takes a couple injuries. Hell, Philadelphia wins a Super Bowl and they fall apart the next year, right?
Sure do.
Yep. They just fall apart.
I mean, yeah, it happens. I know I hate to use the proverbial Super Bowl hangover, but it's real. And I think you just put it in perfect words. So, like, the Super Bowl hangover sounds like, oh, you know, it's a mental lapse or something. But what you're talking about is the physical toll that it actually takes.
And probably a mental toll, too. Like, you're just the grind. I mean, the grind of everything, and it comes into play. But... you know, we're going to have, I mean, Kansas City is an interesting one because they are, five straight AFC championships? Is that right?
I think you're right. Five?
Sounds right.
Since Mahomes has been there.
Yeah, I mean, and it's
goodness gracious.
Now, crazy. Now, remember, they've turned over their offensive line for the most part, right? Like, they've kind of turned that out. They've kind of rebuilt the offensive line, rebuilt some of the skill position players. I mean, so they have done some things. Their secondary is a little bit different. Look how young their secondary is.
I mean,
they start a lot of young guys, including two kids from here with McDuffie and Watson. So, all right. We're good? All good?
I think we're good. Okay. Yeah. Perfect. I'm just going to... the most texts we're still getting are punishments for Jim Moore.
I would ask you just to please pass those to Chris Kidd and and Jason Puckett and let... That is a perfect 10-to-1 show. I feel like an entire first segment can be devoted up to that tomorrow.
I'll take it and run with it.
Yeah.
I'll tag him in my tweet because I'm soliciting them on Twitter too.
Beautiful. Yeah. Make sure those guys see that and they can have fun with it. I still can't believe the guy that is of all the people here, technology means the least to Jim Moore. And he took your phone. And he would have in his possession, he would have had two phones.
Yeah. He didn't mistake it. He took both.
Both. Right. That's my favorite. That is just so quintessentially Jim.
It is.
It's great.
How would you define Jim Moore? Well, right there. Okay. And we absolutely love our guy.
Absolutely.
All right. We'll take a break. Come back. Check in with Softy next. All right. We're back. We've got phone gate settled. Did you hear that Jim Moore inadvertently took Jessamyn's phone?
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying that inadvertent part whatsoever.
You think he's a thief?
Number one.
Okay.
And number two, right. I think he probably got a hold of Jessamyn's phone and said, you know what, maybe I'll take a look through this thing and see if there's something on here I want to look at and check it out and see what Jessamyn's hiding in her private life and what the hell.
Wow.
Why not?
The least technologically savvy person in the world.
Jim Moore?
Last person I'd worry about being able to hack into my phone.
He sent me a text at about 2:30. Do you know how to open up an iPhone 7?
How do you send the text?
Yeah. Unless your passcode was 1234.
Hey, that's my passcode. Don't give out my passcode. What's
unless
wrong with
it's
you?
1234, I think you would have been safe at that point.
No, but I'm totally with you. I would rather lose my wallet than lose my phone.
Me too. 100%.
Because everything you need is on your phone. You got your Apple Pay. You can pay with your debit card, your credit card.
God.
Got your tweet. Got your Facebook. Got your
IG.
Have
you lost your wallet lately?
I have lost my wallet, yeah. I actually had to cancel both my debit and my credit card because I got hacked on Amazon about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, whoa.
And that was awful.
Just now,
You know what the worst part about that was, by the way, is asking my wife for money. Hey, can I borrow a couple hundred bucks? going to the queen.
Then you have don't, to tell her where you're using
it. And
her.
It's like, don't worry. I'll turn that $200
that's right.
into $800.
No way of getting any money whatsoever.
I lost.
Felt like a four-year-old.
I had my.
Leave some money.
It's the worst. I have my phone or my. I took my ID out coming back from a Seahawks preseason game against the Chargers about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And I take my ID out.
Down here.
In LA.
Okay.
And so I go up to the Alaska, take my wallet out, and I show my ID. And then the guy goes, okay, blah, blah, blah. And I drop my wallet, apparently. And then I have my ID. I check out, hand my bag over, walk away. Boom. They take the bag, throw it down. And then I'm standing there and go, oh my God, where's my wallet? I'm just holding my ID.
Yeah.
And I lost one. So we're like for 20 minutes. There's like a crew of five of us. We're all looking for my wallet. Couldn't find it.
Yeah.
The agents are looking for
That's why you have to have everything in your phone.
So all I had was, luckily I have my driver's license, so I get through. So I call my wife and she does all that stuff. And I just say, I lost my wallet. Credit cards. I'll cancel everything. I'm sitting on the plane. I even got bumped up that day. First class. Couldn't even enjoy it. Couldn't even enjoy it. Just sat there just like stressed out. Yeah. Get home, everything's canceled, get my bag out. It's a roller bag. Unzip it, pull the thing out, and it was in there.
There it is.
It had fallen in where the handle was.
Yeah.
But the stress of losing my wallet and not having my, and having no money.
But by that time, Tammy had canceled everything anyway.
Yes.
Now you're going back and having to just go through the whole process
of re-getting it.
Lost your wallet.
Yeah, it was
awful.
Have
you ever been to an Amazon Fresh store?
No.
Have you guys done that?
No.
Have you done that, by the way?
Amazon Fresh? No. Okay. I like going to grocery stores.
Right. Well, but. It is a grocery store. Okay? It is a grocery store. You just don't need to have a credit card
to you.
Or a debit card.
Yeah, no.
Everything is based on your Prime account.
Oh, is that?
And you scan your hand.
Oh, just scan your hand, yeah.
And then you walk in there, you grab what you want, you walk out, and
they
scan your eye sockets or your DNA or whatever.
I thought you were talking about the delivery.
No, no, no.
Yeah, there's no checkout or anything. Yeah.
Exactly. Ooh. At some point, that's going to be the way everything is.
Yeah.
You're going to have an implant in your eyeball. With your ID, your credit card, your debit card.
Who's going to do that?
Your movie preferences.
Is it Fane's LASIK guy?
The man.
Oh.
The man upstairs.
The man, really?
Yeah, they're going to drug you and drag you behind an alley and inject you with the with the man's chip.
This man got a little scary.
You won't need anything. All right, you'll walk into a restaurant, you'll walk into a bar, you'll show them your eye, you'll open up your eyelid, dang, and then everything you need is on there.
You watch way too much science fiction.
Well, dude, the creeps, man.
Listen, I have a simple theory on all of that.
Whatever
we can imagine is going to happen.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's fair.
Terminator, the machines, they're coming. Anders, are you with me? They will turn on us and kick our ass. I am glad I will not be around to see it.
Those Boston Robotics are
I'm telling you.
Yes!
Yeah.
Anything you can imagine is going to happen.
Somebody
at some point, Ian, had to imagine going to the moon. It happened.
The world of softy.
Imagine flying.
The world of softy is a special place. It
really
is.
You know what? You ask your text line. You ask your text line. All right, because I can give you the X-rated version of this little rant that I use at the golf club, but I can't do it right now.
Okay,
because there's a female present.
Okay,
and we're
that's
on the air.
That's the only reason.
Yeah, well, we're on the air.
I think more than we're on the air.
Seen the text, Jane? He doesn't care that you're a female.
Yeah. Who me?
Yeah.
Of course I care that she's a female.
No, on the text chain, you're showing, pictures of urinals and...
I would just...
Wait a minute! Time out! Time the hell out! You're the one that took a picture of the urinal.
At whose request?
And because there was a woman, you did not even show the entire urinal.
Right.
I didn't say take a picture of the urinal while you're using it.
You wanted a whole picture of the damn thing.
What's wrong with you?
You wanted a whole picture of the damn thing.
I wanted the sign above the urinal.
It's bad.
The one that says don't drink the water.
First of all, because I love you, because of that, I'm in a press box bathroom.
Yes, yeah. Taking
with
a
my camera in the bathroom taking a picture.
It.
Which
I love it.
When you think about that, somebody walks in and going, excuse me, sir, we need you to leave the premises.
Let me ask you a question. Do you ever call your wife or FaceTime your wife as you're using the urinal?
Not the urinal, no.
I'll walk into the bathroom during a break and I'll set my phone on top of the urinal and talk to my wife while I'm doing my business.
Again, the world of softy is a special place.
She's looking at my face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it.
All right. What the hell?
I don't think it necessitates.
Hey, by the way, Jessamyn, just so you know, there are no men and no women here. There's just us.
Yes. All right. I was just going to say, me being a female shouldn't have anything.
It doesn't have anything to do with
it. Ask Ryan. She knows what's going on.
Perfect.
You're massively uncomfortable right now, are you?
Not at all.
You're the sports cat. You're the sportscaster of the year, Emeritus.
Nah, that was a year ago.
Emeritus. That's why I said Emeritus.
I've lost that title to Egan.
You can't be dragged into the gutter with this type of conversation.
I can't.
Mo Egger is going to join us from Cincinnati today.
Oh, he's probably happy.
He's very happy, fired up. And then Corbin Smith, our old pal Corbin Smith from the Locked On Seahawks podcast.
We'll all 22 talk.
We'll jump on as well. Nice. And then our buddy Soren Petro from Kansas City.
Ooh.
Should we take the Chiefs right now or take the Bengals right now with Patrick Mahomes' high ankle sprain? Because, you know, you can't say the words high ankle sprain without adding the dreaded high ankle sprain. I mean, that stuff sticks around for weeks, man.
Weeks.
Weeks.
Hey, you know what? Russ, months. Russ played through it.
Yeah, he sure did. How'd that work out for him, by the way?
The year they missed the playoffs.
They need to hire Mr. Miyagi. Press release, the Chiefs have hired Pat Morita to work on Pat Mahomes' foot.
He's dead, isn't he? Dead or alive?
Well, they bring him back.
Okay.
There's another thing they can do. They can bring back dead people now. I'm telling you.
It's all going to happen.
It's all clones.
Oh,
clones,
my God.
Man.
All right.
We can clone sheep and goats and giraffes. Why not people?
I'm going to have nightmares tonight.
See ya.
For the mild-mannered and marginally objectionable Ian Furness, this is Pat O'Day saying, so long, everyone.
Hey, guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing, and now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun, Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.